solemnly swear the evidence you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Welcome to Crime Time with Vito Colucci, P.I.
Come on, Johnny, you might as well talk. Who robbed that payroll truck?
I've read the case files, have you?
This sure gives an airtight alibi.
Crime Time is heard exclusively on Biz Talk Radio. Check out podcasts of our shows or listen live at biztalkradio.com. And now, your host of Crime Time, Vito Colucci, P.I.
Well, good evening, everybody. Crime Time with Vito Colucci, P.I., the no politics zone. If you turned in tonight by accident and you wanted to hear people yelling at each other and screaming at each other and I want to be president, you're no good for president, you got the wrong channel. So I'll give you a couple of seconds to hang up on that. We are the no politics zone. It's Sunday night again, and thank you very much for the ratings, and thank you for what you've been calling me and everything that's going on. People love the show. We've had top-notch guests, and we have another one tonight. So we welcome you again here. I want to read a little bit about our guest here, and then we'll go right into it. His name is Larry Henry, and I just really met him this week, but I've been following him online for a long time, and he's a veteran print and broadcast journalist. Okay, he's been that for quite a while. He also writes a monthly blog called The Mob in Pop Culture. The Mob in Pop Culture. And he does stuff for the Mob Museum in Las Vegas. And folks, if you've never been there, okay, I've spoken there, and then Larry has spoken there too. It's a great place. If you're ever in the Las Vegas area, you got to go there and see it. It's floors and floors. You would love it. Okay, you can see some of Larry's stuff on the Mob Museum's website at themobmuseum.org. And the blog focuses on movies, books, and TV shows about the mob. Now, that may sound like an innocent thing, but this guy knows that stuff. I mean, I worked it, and he knows what's going on every week in that. He goes back and delves many decades. Okay, but Larry was also the press secretary for Nevada Governor Bob Miller, and he was the political editor at the Las Vegas Sun. And he also was the managing editor at KFSM-TV, the CBS affiliate. And he's now also an educator in Arkansas. So he wears many hats, okay? So Larry Henry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vito. I really do appreciate it. Let me say I'm a big admirer of your work, and I'm honored to be on. Thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that. It took me about 23 minutes to just go over your stuff over here, there, what you've done, what you continue to do. And like I said, I just have been following your things for many, many years. And, you know, I think once anybody works undercover, you like to read a lot of stuff, even as the years go by and see. And I love your handle on all of these things and what you know. And how did you get interested in the mob, Larry?
It's kind of been a long progression, Vito. In some ways, it probably mirrors your story. I know you were in law enforcement. You're an author, a private investigator. But a parallel on the journalistic route was mine. I had grown up in South Louisiana where, you know, when I was growing up, Carlos Marcello was the mob boss operating out of New Orleans for the entire Southeast, really. A guy named Barry Seal, who was a drug runner for the Medellin cartel. Last year, they made a movie about him a couple years ago, I guess, called American Made. So I grew up in a place where these sort of figures were in the news all the time. And, you know, when you're young, you don't get politics. You don't get corruption. You don't get organized crime. You just see these figures who are getting away with things. And I always wondered why. How could they, you know what I mean, Vito? How could a guy like Carlos Marcello basically, so it's like Dan Moldea, that great mafia writer, investigative reporter, said that without political corruption, there can't be organized crime. So I just got interested in the journalistic route, too, with the way the underworld can't operate without a corrupt overworld. And that whole thing always interested me, even from my childhood and teenage years on, Vito.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's a true statement you said. Say that again. Political corruption, what?
That was Dan Moldea, the fantastic journalist who's written a lot about the mob, has written a lot about Robert Kennedy and on mob. I think he's got 8 or 9 books out. Dan Moldea put it beautifully without, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know if Dan said it exactly like this, but something along the lines of, there can't be organized crime without political corruption. Think about
very
it.
Very true. Got,
and you, well, you know this, Vito, as a law enforcement officer and private investigator and author, you, whether it's somebody on the inside in law enforcement, whether it's a judge, I mean, all these underworld figures really got their power through controlling judges and prosecutors. I mean, at the end of the day, if a prosecutor looks at the evidence from the police department, decides not to file charges, that goes away. So if you can get control of a judge, get control of a prosecutor, which these underworld figures throughout history have done, they can operate with impunity. They can kill, they can steal, they can skim from casinos, whatever they need to do. So that's always been a part of that whole mix that's been really interesting to me, Vito. And then how it's played out in movies and books is and the imprint that has on popular culture has always fascinated me.
That's amazing. Now, you know yourself, over the last 5 to 10 years, so many new TV shows, there's so many crime things out there. People love to hear about the mafia. You know, there's a lot of guys. I worked with Henry Hill before he passed away. I spoke at some places with him. And some of the men that stood up said, you know, if it wasn't so dangerous and I wouldn't be afraid of going to jail, I would have loved to live that life. Henry scolded him, of course, and said, you're nuts. You know, but, you know, you write for the Mob Museum and mafia movies and books. What's coming up? I know there's some big mob movies coming up in the near future. What's going on out there?
A lot of fact. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And your relationship with Henry Hill is a perfect example of the way real life and the popular culture interpretation through movies and books sometimes can paint a different picture of what really happened for dramatic effect. I understand that. You know, Hollywood movies are not documentaries. I get that. And I value that. I really like the adventure, the excitement, all those sort of things in movies. But you know, when you look at the old gangster movies, I put a piece together for the Mob Museum, and thank you for mentioning all that. And I agree with you, Vito. I think those who go to Las Vegas, a trip to the Mob Museum is absolutely necessary. It's one of the best museums, I think, in the world, and it really encompasses that whole historical era in Las Vegas and throughout the world. But anyway, so I wrote a piece for them this month about how a real big surge of interest is occurring right now, I think, in the television and movie world, Vito, involving the mob. When you look at, so back way up, the old gangster films, the Cagney things, and so forth, 1972 hits, The Godfather comes out. You have The Godfather trilogy. I interviewed a couple of people in this piece, a professor at Wesleyan, some actors, who I think beautifully sort of summarized what happened when The Godfather came out. It sort of humanized these characters. As one person told me in this piece I wrote, you're seeing mobsters not as monsters. You're seeing, you know, in The Godfather, weddings and family meals. All those sort of things make the terrors and the horrors and the killing and the tragedy more believable. So after The Godfather, I think we saw a lot of films that had more depth and nuance to them than the earlier mafia movies. And there's an endless, Gary Pastore, the actor who's in The Deuce, told me for this story, the same thing happened with television that happened with movies. When you had The Sopranos, you had a Boardwalk Empire and those kind of shows that humanized the characters. You're seeing that on TV now with things like The Deuce that Gary is in. But anyway, you know, there's a never ending, and you know this, Vito, there's a never ending a level of interest in the among the public with mob stories, and now after The Godfather reignited that interest, I think you're seeing a lot more depth with these movies that just continues to have appeal to the public. So some of the big ones coming up, Vito, you've got a Sopranos prequel coming up that's going to come out in 2020 in September. James Gandolfini's son Michael is starring as a younger Tony Soprano, and there's a ton of interest in that. Martin Scorsese has a new movie. The guy who directed Casino, The Departed, Goodfellas, he's got a new one coming out called The Irishman, which is coming out in the fall on Netflix. It's going to have a limited theatrical run. It takes a look at a guy named Frank Sheeran. Frank Sheeran was a mob hitman on the East Coast. And he claims to have killed Jimmy Hoffa, and that's creating controversy in itself. So there's a lot going on that front, Vito.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, we're going to be talking about all this stuff in the next couple of segments. But right now, we got to go to a hard break, Larry. So, ladies and gentlemen, stand by. We have Larry Henry on tonight. To the sounds of the theme song from CSI Las Vegas, we are back on Crime Time with Vito Colucci, PI, with Larry Henry, mob historian. Love reading his columns, and you'll get some information from him at the end of the show, how he could go on Facebook and other things like that. So, Larry, we got this new Scorsese movie coming out, The Irishman. And what's the controversy all about on this movie?
Well, what's interesting about that, Vito, there's a ton of interest in it. Anything Martin Scorsese, De Niro's in it, but it's got a lot of the big name stars in it. So that alone draws a lot of interest. But one of the things that's really sort of popped up about this, and we covered it on the Mob Museum website, is who really killed Jimmy Hoffa? So The Irishman, Vito, the movie, is based on a book called I Heard You Paint Houses by Charles.
Right.
You're very familiar with him, Vito. So the book, as you know, with your background and experience, I Heard You Paint Houses, painting houses, mob term for a contract killing, the blood that spatters on the wall and so forth. So Frank Sheeran, longtime Teamster, dead now, has been dead for years, claims in interviews with Brandt, which became the book, that he killed Jimmy Hoffa. He supposedly was brought to Detroit. There was a lot of commotion that Hoffa was making, trying to get control of the union again. Mob didn't want him in control. He was threatening to go public with the mob's connections to the union and so forth. So Sheeran goes to Detroit, supposed to be a meeting at the Mockus Red Fox, the restaurant in a Detroit suburb. No, the mobsters that Hoffa is supposed to meet there don't show up. Hoffa gets in a car, disappears. Now, Sheeran says, Frank the Irishman Sheeran, thus the title of the movie, Sheeran says he took him to a nearby house, shot him twice in the back of the head. Now, that's where the controversy starts. So, a lot of really outstanding journalists, Eric Shawn of Fox News, an anchor for them, senior reporter, Ed Barnes, one of his producers, they went to this house more than a decade ago and found blood spots in the places that Sheeran said the incident occurred. And they've done some fantastic work over the years on the whole Hoffa mystery, including a new piece on the Fox Nation subscription service called Riddle, which is, as you know, Vito, Jimmy Hoffa's middle name. So, meanwhile, Dan Moldea, I referenced him a moment ago, a highly regarded investigative reporter and author, contends that the killer was Salvatore Sally Bugs Bergoglio, another East Coast mafia hitman, and through his contacts, through his sources, no one goes back more than Dan Moldea on the Hoffa story. He wrote a book in 1978 called The Hoffa Wars, interviewed almost all the major players in the incident, including Sal Bergoglio, and, you know, contends that Sheeran changed his story over time. He asserted right. that he killed Hoffa just to get a book sold. That's the controversy, Vito. So wow. there's a big firestorm over that.
Wow. Yeah, Ray Romano's in the movie, too. I was surprised to see that.
A ton of big stars, Vito. So, and yeah. you followed that whole story, Vito. I'm sure you remember a lot of the Hoffa stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they say he's buried in the, what was it, the Meadowlands or someplace?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, something like that. I mean, imagine all those footballs that were spiked on his head after a touchdown. Come on now, you know. Poor Jimmy can't even rest in peace.
What can you say, Vito? So, Ed yeah. Barnes, the producer, very respected journalist, investigative reporter years ago for newspapers in New Jersey, contends that Hoffa's body was shredded at a chicken farm in Jersey associated with Bergoglio, offshore X number of miles, 100 miles or whatever. The shredder, Hoffa's body, everything was dumped in the ocean. Dan Moldea contends the body was buried at a landfill in New Jersey. Now, some in Detroit contend he was cremated. Some contend he was turned into a hubcap. As you say, you know, others contend it was a giant stadium. So the
that's amazing. Yeah, and not only that, one of the big chicken companies just had a big recall this week. I'm just wondering if he was in any of those things. Hey, you know, Larry, a good friend of mine, Craig Vinson, is in that movie, too. He plays Hoffa's bodyguard in that movie. So, yeah, now, you know, this is interesting for the listeners because Craig was in Casino. Craig Vinson was in Casino. He played the cowboy. He's the one that has his feet up on the poker table, and what's his name? Joe Pesci gives him a beating and a whole bit like that. And, you know, the years go by. You know, I'm friends with Craig. He did some other stuff. But then the story goes, like Craig tells me, is what's his name? De Niro was sitting with Scorsese, and they were thinking about who else they need. And they say, hey, how about that guy from Casino, Cowboy? And that's how he got the job. He called me right away, and he told me that. Imagine that. So, folks out there, if you ever do something of importance like this and somebody sees you, 10 years later, you could get a call again for something. Okay, just keep that in mind. And that was interesting when he told me that story. The two of them were just sitting, Scorsese and De Niro, and they needed a certain part. And they say, hey, how about the Craig Vinson guy? And that's how he got that. Amazing.
I love it. What do you?
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the movie, Vito. And you know, we all have our theories on Hoffa, and it's a fascinating story. It's one of those enduring mafia mysteries. What's your take? You got a take on the mafia? I mean, on the Hoffa situation, or is that something you need to do a little more? You want to see the movie first, or where are you on that whole thing?
Well, I didn't see the show, but I thought Denny Griffith did a big radio show about that. He had somebody on or something that was an authority, and he was able to break something on this radio show. I don't remember who it was. You know, you hear so many things about this, but see, these are the things that keep it going, Larry. It's so exciting to wonder, oh, yeah, somebody told me, but nobody really told them. It's their guess in their mind, you know, like what happened. But no, that's one of the biggest things in organized crime that people are always still trying to figure out. I don't know the movie. I don't know if it's going to come up with their own ending at the end of this movie, but we'll have to see how it goes, Larry. We're going to take a little break over here now too. And this has been a great show. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for, your calls and your writing and the people across the country that have been listening to it. So thanks again for that. We'll be right back.
don't you come to your senses?
To the sounds of Desperado. And I believe that was by the Eagles. Am I right, Brandon?
For so long.
Okay, good. Desperados. That's what, unfortunately, so many young guys want to grow up to be, a desperado, okay? And they're intrigued by the mafia and things of that nature. And you ever wonder about that, Larry, why so many people go into that field when they know for the vast majority of them it's either life in prison or dead? Okay, do you ever think about that? And you know so many more of the names. You know so many more of the names that we do. So you know even more things about how these people ended up.
Well, and you know this as a law enforcement officer and a PI. I was talking to Michael Mafucci for the piece I wrote. He's an actor, and he hosts a podcast on Uncle Frank's Place, which is a website about Frank Costello, and has a piece and has a part in The Irishman, and has been in some other things. He put it nicely. He said, you know, one of the appeals to these movies, and maybe this affects the way some people view the romanticism of this life. People feel like sometimes in their day-to-day lives, Vito, maybe they feel oppressed. They feel like they're in a job. They're stuck somewhere. They're not going anywhere. They see these people rolling in cash with, you know, nice cars and a seemingly successful life while they're being sort of beaten down. And maybe there's a sense that life has some appeal. Now, as he pointed out to me, though, Vito, and I know you've seen this, I'd love to get your take on it. The romanticism ends at the prison door. Goodfellas, as Michael said to me, Goodfellas makes prison look like a vacation. But clearly, you know, you're in for a cold shock. Don't you think, Vito, has that been your experience with people that think that's going to have a happy ending? It really doesn't?
Yeah, because in the old days, everything was pride. I'm never going to give up anybody. I'm never going to do this, do that. Nowadays, they're giving up. They'll give up their grandmother. And also because they realize nowadays, the cops bring them in, okay? They're bringing them in. They've got them there for hours or whatever. They call them back again. The people don't understand that I can't go back to the clubhouse anymore because the bosses are going to say kill him. I don't know what he told the police. So you have no choice nowadays because, you know, he thinks he can go back at it and tell them nothing. And he's telling the truth. Okay. But organized crime, you know how those guys are with their mind. No, just get rid of them. We can't take a chance, you know. And that's what I see happening. I got to tell you a quick story. I spoke on a couple occasions, like I told you, with Henry Hill, and we were at the Clark County Library, a beautiful facility in Las Vegas, Clark County Library. The house was packed, and I found out afterwards there was 250 people in another room watching it on a screen, and the two of us, and there was a couple other people on the show. And as I was talking from the mic, and as I was talking about Henry Hill a little bit like that, a guy that was walking outside the theater, but you could see him as he was walking by, said, yelled out, snitch, rat, and he walked away. So I said, hold on, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I said, I have never... Question I'm going to ask you, I've never got a raise of a hand from. I never got a yes, you're right. I say to you, you know, you hear about these people, oh, yeah, he's a rat, he's this and that. That same person can get arrested, okay? And the FBI can sit with them like they do in Henry Hill's movie and say, you got a choice. You're going to go away for 15 to 18 years, or you're going to help us out right now. He said, nobody... How many people in this room honestly will raise their hand and say, I'm not going to snitch? Nobody raised. I said, you see, nobody ever raises their hand. Nobody does, because you call people a rat, but yet if that's you, you'll tell them everything in the world. See, and that's what gets me all the time, you know?
Yeah, that's a great story, Vito. You know, you look at the RICO Act in 1970 when law enforcement began to go after the heads of organized crime organizations rather than just the individual people breaking the law. That sort of opened up a lot of that, too. And then you have people, Frank Collada in Las Vegas. I don't know if you've met Frank, who was Tony Spilotro's, essentially his underboss for the Chicago.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I also had the opportunity to speak with him, too. Nice guy nowadays.
Yeah, remember Frank? Yeah, well, yeah. But Frank's point was, you know, listen, Tony Spilotro was you know, grew up with him, boyhood friend. We got involved in Las Vegas and up in Chicago. But, you know, when it got back to me that he was coming after me to kill me, you know, at that point I had a decision to make. So I think you're right. I think it's easy, and you see a lot of it on social media sites, a lot of it's easy to call names, but there's some circumstances involved, I think, sometimes that add a little more nuance to it than people are willing to admit. And that story you just told is a perfect example of it, I think, Vito.
And I saw that special on John Gotti, I don't know, about a couple months ago, where he meets with his son at the jailhouse and the whole bit, his son's explaining to him, John Jr., his name was John Jr., right? Am I right with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's explaining to his dad, who's, you know, in prison there, that he wants to go the opposite way. He's got the children, he's got a wife, and dad, I just don't want to be involved in it. And the dad went up and down him like crazy, like he has to do that. And the son says, well, I'm not going to do it, dad. And that, you know, senior was one of, he said, no, you always got to be in the mafia. You always got to be with the crew and do your stuff, you know? And that was the last time I really heard somebody actually still saying that kind of stuff, you know?
I saw that. Yeah, he died up in Springfield, Missouri, in a federal prison hospital. But that's a good point too. You know, you look back at, I mean, it's a brutal life, man. We were talking about why people get into that sort of life. There's a lot of power, a lot of money. But look at all throughout history, all the hits. We just had a hit a couple of months ago, a Columbo boss up in New York. Look back at when we sort of transition back into the whole movie world. Look at all the hits that occurred over time. I'm just thinking of a new movie coming up, Apalachin, about the village in New York where in the 1950s there was a huge mob summit, and right after Albert Anastasia was gunned down in a barbershop in New York. So, Vito, you know all that. And so, you know, all these, it is a brutal, tough world. But I will say this, in this movie that's coming up, there is a movie on that summit coming up, which Gary Pastore is in. But as Albert Anastasia. But when you look at the continued interest, I don't think that interest is ever going to go away in the public's mind, because for one thing, because of court records and court cases and just all the fascinating testimony and trial. And when these people did flip and did become government witnesses, they gave details, Vito, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they gave details that fascinate the public. And so a lot of these secrets, that were sort of kept in these social clubs and kept in the Ravenite or kept in this club or that club, became known to the whole public in these court cases. And when dramatized in the movie world, Vito, I think it makes a really, really interesting story that I think just continues to hold the public interest.
Yeah, it definitely does. I was just looking at my notes here, Larry, again, where I wrote down, without political corruption, there can't be organized crime. And I got my book, Rogue Town, in front of me.
Yeah.
And Henry Hill, obviously, before he died, wrote a nice thing on the cover. He wrote, when organized crime controls the police department, they control the entire city. Vito Colucci is the real deal. But that is so true. That is so true. You control the police department. You control everybody, all the big people in that town, city that you have to. You have nothing to worry about. See, you could walk around doing anything you want, because, and somebody says, oh, I'm going to get you, I'm going to go to here. But you already got that covered with every big wick in town. In the book Rogue Town, you'll hear that 15 people got indicted. So if there's any folks still out there, I think there's one maybe in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that hasn't bought the book, please pick it up. If you like true crime with an emphasis on organized crime and the mob, pick it up. It's Rogue Town, R-O-G-U-E. Anyway, that was my commercial break. Sorry, Larry.
No, it's a great book, Vito, and you hit the nail on the head. You look at Providence, Rhode Island, Connecticut, where you were. You look at Boston with Whitey Bulger and all that crowd. You look down in New Orleans in South Louisiana, where I grew up. So you look at all those places where these people had enormous influence. It's because they had political power through the judges, prosecutors, and cops, Vito. I think you're absolutely right.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to be, Henry, going to a hard break right now. We're going to be coming back, though. I'll tell you in advance. We're going to talk a little bit. I saw on your website, I saw one of the titles of something I think you wrote. It says Rise and Fall of the Mafia Women. So I'm interested to hear that myself. So keep that in mind. We're going to come back with that as we go to a break. pumped up, ladies and gentlemen. Remembering that theme, a great theme, really a great theme that played all throughout the movies, the three movies that would pop up at the time, where it was perfectly appropriate to hear that song in the background. It's a beautiful theme, right, Larry?
It is a beautiful song, and it still resonates. Even when you look at the cover of the Godfather book and that font that they use, those hands, those puppet strings, we're going back to 1972 and before. I think 1969, the book came out. And those images, that song, that music, all those things are still a big part of our culture, Vito. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh yeah, it is. Well, what we're going to do, because I promised the people, and I have to do this now, Larry, we're going to talk a little bit about the rise and fall of mafia women. We'll talk just a couple minutes about that. What is that about? I didn't have a chance to read it.
Well, I didn't write that particular piece, although I do think, I'm glad you brought that up, Vito, because I think that's an undertold story. And I think, so when you look at things like, a lot is starting to happen now on that front. So I go back to the movie Casino. I still say, and you know that as a guy who lives in Henderson and your experience in Las Vegas, you and I both have a lot of experience in Las Vegas. I go back to the movie Casino and I look at all the characters, Love Triangle, based on Lefty Rosenthal, Tony Spilotro, and Jerry Rosenthal, Lefty's wife, and how that became
right.
A volatile love triangle that led to a lot of, disastrous consequences. But I still say, and I've said this before, the Sharon Stone character, of all the characters in that movie that I think resonated the most with me was her character, because of just the impact of this sort of life, Vito. We talked earlier about how volatile this life is. This sort of life, the impact it has on people who aren't, quote, in the life, but they get sucked into it and brutalized and oppressed and has big effects on families. I think that's a really big part of the story that needs to be told. And there's a guy named, I just want to draw attention to this, if I may, Vito, take just 1 second to draw attention to a book that's come out that I think is in, I don't know if it's in production yet, but I think it's going to be in production as a movie. It's called The Good Mothers by Alex Perry, about some women who took on the mafia to their own, risk. And I think he really gets the New Yorker excerpted a piece of it, and it got a lot of buzz, and the book is fantastic. And it sort of looks at what you're talking about, Vito, which is, there is an untold story there, and I'm really glad you brought that up. And Alex Perry, the author of that book, really hits on the courage and the strength of this group that took on the mafia and the successes they had and the courage they needed to show, to push forth with what they did. So, no, I agree with you. I think it's an untold story, and I think there are a lot of aspects to it that are yet to come.
Yeah, definitely. Look, let's take a few moments, because I do this every week. I know the public will be interested in knowing about you, maybe where they can read about you. Maybe, I don't know how you work your Facebook, but how can they reach out to you? What can they do to ask you questions or just be involved?
Well, thank you first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm really honored, Vito. I admire your work and I really appreciate this opportunity. So I am active on Facebook. I have my own personal page like everybody does, but I also operate two Facebook pages. One is called Las Vegas Mafia History. The other is called Mob World Summit. Send me a request to join. I'll accept it. We'll just get engaged. There's a lot of great conversation with a lot of authors, journalists, people in the mob world, law enforcement officers, people like that. My friend Gary Jenkins up in Kansas City, who is a law enforcement officer up there, has a website. He gets engaged in Gangland Wire, it's called. He gets engaged in some of that conversation. But let me also point out, and I really appreciate you bringing this up, I'm just really honored to write for the Mob Museum's website. I write a monthly column called The Mob in Pop Culture, and it's a lot of fun. And if you go to their website, mobmuseum.org, and go under the blog tab, that's where that is, Vito. So thanks for the opportunity to even promote that a little bit.
Yeah, one thing I want to say about the Mob Museum, a lot of people have gotten this wrong. I've told people I'm speaking at the Mob Museum or something like that. Oh, yeah, they think it's all about honoring the bad guys, okay? This is equally spent honoring the good guys, okay, and showing the exploits of the bad guys. So this is not just one way talking about the mob. These are the FBI people. I've met many of these people since I've been out here that are honored through this thing. Okay, what the work they did. So it's half and half. It's not just one thing. And a couple people going by the name just thinks it's some place where you're just going to talk about and hear about. Oh, it's just mob things. Am I correct?
Yes, and it's also just a world-class museum. It's fascinating. The exhibit is very, very well done. There's a lot of Las Vegas history. It's held in the building where the Kefauver hearings were held in Las Vegas in the 50s, so there's a lot of mob history connection to that federal building in downtown Las Vegas. But it's just a world-class museum, and yes, it's got both sides of the story. Fascinating exhibits. For one thing, just a real quick one, I know you saw it too, Vito, the Valentine's Day wall in Chicago where the massacre occurred. They've got the actual wall. So all those sort of things are fascinating. But yes, no, it's not. It definitely tells both sides of the story. And I think just beyond that, it's just a world-class museum.
And they do some tremendous mock trials there. They still utilize the courtroom scene there. They're able to do mock trials. I think a lot of the maybe high school kids come on a trip there and they'll witness something of that nature and just learn more. I've spoken there, but I've never had time to literally go through the whole building. It takes several hours, the people say, to really enjoy it. Am I correct?
Yeah. And a friend of mine that I worked with at the Las Vegas Sun, he's now the senior director of content at the museum, Jeff Schumacher. Jeff puts on, as you know, Vito, Jeff puts on this speaker series that I think is world-class, the best in the world. Journalists, authors, writers, they stream it online. It's online so you can go back and reference it. The speakers that they have, and Jeff interviews them, fascinating. Everybody from Oscar Goodman to different mobsters, law enforcement people. It's the best in the world in terms of a speaker series involving this whole universe we're talking about.
Wow, very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure tonight. Another good show, and I say good show, and I'm not bragging about it, but the guests I get are really interesting, and Larry Henry goes right along with all the best of them. So this has been a great night, and Larry, I thank you very much, and I'll talk to you again pretty soon.
Look forward to speaking with you soon. Thank you so much, Vito.
Okay.